In way of introduction for my message tonight, there's a familiar passage. And this is a practical message again tonight, a topical message. And when you see the passage, you'll say, ah, I understand that. But the real issue is, what would you do if you were put in the same position? In Acts chapter 8, verses 27 and 31, Philip the evangelist, one of the deacons of the church, early church, found himself out in the desert. He was led by God out in the middle of nowhere. And sometimes God's going to make us go places where we don't necessarily, it doesn't make sense to us. And it just so happens that Philip, out in the middle of nowhere in the desert, sees this chariot. And we know that in the chariot there is this Ethiopian eunuch. And now we have the setting for the situation. And it says, and he arose and went. If God told you to go someplace, would you go? Philip did. And he arose and went, and behold, it just so happened that if we go where God tells us to go, that there's going to be an opportunity to glorify God. There's going to be an opportunity to do what God tells us to do. It says, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Do you think the timing is incidental? Do you think the place is incidental? It's not at all. You know, there's a lot of people out there think religious things and they put themselves looking for God. And true seekers will find Him. But we need to be open to that. We need to look for God before us and behind us and above us and beneath us and around us. And God in us. Verse 28 says, which returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, if you heard somebody reading scripture, would you know what book it was in? Would you know where it would be in that book? Would you understand what the issue of the passage was all about? And we know in the story that it was Isaiah 53 that he was reading. But would we be able to find it and explain it? And it says, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Could you expound on that passage in Isaiah 53? Could you share what that's all about? And it says, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You know, some of us might be out in the middle of the desert and see the chariot go by and don't know why we're out in the desert. So, oh, there's a chariot. That's it. Just goes on by. And a missed opportunity. But here, God makes a way for someone who's wanting to hear to get the message of the gospel. And he doesn't have a shining light down. He uses a common person. Not even one of the 12. Someone who was just a lay person in the church, who was elevated to a position of being a deacon because of their faithfulness. Would we faithfully discharge the duties that God has told us to do? Could we share? Could we use the Word of God to show someone how to get saved? I said, well, this is going to be an issue on witnessing. No, it's not. This is going to be a message on how to use the Word of God. Because time is very soon. The night is coming. Amen. And we need to be ready to seize opportunities to witness for Christ. We pray for all these names. If you had an opportunity to talk to somebody, would you do it? If you had an opportunity to talk to somebody, could you do it? Would you know the right verses to, or where they were reading? See, it is time. It is time. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, here's an issue that's going on in our churches today. We need strong churches. We need churches that will stand for the truth and teach the truth and preach the truth. And it's not this emotional stuff or just pray to God and He'll deliver you. We need to understand what the Bible says about this and where truth lies. Because we need to speak the truth. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, here's an illustration of what's happening. I think it's happening today. It says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are come and become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of the righteousness, for he is a babe." It's time to grow up. Every one of us needs to be brought into the full stature, full measure of the stature of Christ. Verse 14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And that's lacking in our churches today. If it sounds good, it must be truth. No, it's not. If it aligns with God's word, it's truth. Amen. If it's contrary to God's word, it's false. It's a lie. And we shouldn't do it. So tonight I want to look at five things that we need to do on how to use the Word of God. The first thing we need to do with the Word of God is we need to search it. Is your Bible only picked up on Sunday morning to come to church? And then when you come to church, do you even open it up because we've got the Scriptures up here? But we need to be skillful in the use of the Bible. And we need to be searching it. We need to search the Bible with purpose. We need to search the Scripture with purpose. In John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, "Search the Scriptures." Christ is talking to the religious leaders. They had the first five books of the Torah memorized. They knew what it said more than we do, and more than other people in the crowd did. And He's telling the Pharisees this. He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life," from their perspective. He says, "And they are they which testify of me." Here's the Word of God in the flesh standing in front of them, saying the Scripture, hadn't gone to rabbinical college, hadn't done anything like that. He was supposedly being an illegitimate child, is what they called him. And He's teaching them the oracles of God. And people are going, "Wow, we've never heard anything like this." And He's telling the people who should have known better, "You search the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures." Tonight, I'm challenging you to search the Scriptures. I'm challenging you to read the Scriptures and find out what the richness of it is. Oh, we need to search. How to use the Word of God? You need to search things out. There are answers in there. Everything's in there for life and godliness. But you know, we need to search it with purpose. We need to also search it with perception. And it's something that the Holy Spirit can do. If you don't, nothing makes sense to me. Have you asked God to help it make sense? James chapter 1 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. Give us all men liberally. And upbraideth not." The Holy Spirit's going to go to teach us all things and guide us all and guide us into all things. We need to do it with perception. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Folks, you need to read your Bible today, and you need to search out, and you need to look out what's going on right in the world. Because we're seeing the Scripture fulfilled.
Amen.
We're seeing it fulfilled. Are you able to say, are you ready? Do you know what this is? This is not, Gorbachev is not the Antichrist. You know? There's all sorts of, we look like it, that is it. No. We were talking about this yesterday in the prayer breakfast. We need to know that the spirit of Antichrist is here. But he's not been revealed yet. He may be alive today. But how would you recognize him if you never searched the Scriptures? How would you understand the characteristics of the end times unless you understand what they're... Which means you want to search it. Which means there's a desire in your heart to learn something. So we need to... How to use the Word of God? Search it. And, you know, I can tell you that it might work, but the way of true Bible study is not say, oh, I'll study this today. There is some methodical, there's some method involved in this. And we ought to be able to know. I mean, some of us have been in church for decades. Can we share a comfort verse or a verse of encouragement with somebody? If you never search out encouragement verses, you never search out comfort verses, you'll never be prepared to do it. So the first thing we need to do is search it. The second thing we need to do is examine it. You probably get this at work. I know that if you're a school teacher, that you assign an assignment, you know what the first thing the kids do? Well, what's the answer? What's the answer? Instead of searching the textbook to find the problem itself. Well, just give me the answer. Because I just want to get done so I go out and play. So I go out and do something else. Am I getting there? Okay. How do you use the Word of God? If all you get out of the Word of God is what's being preached from the pulpit here, that's not enough. You need to do it on your own. And we need to examine it for ourselves. For yourselves. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, I love when God singles out a group of people and he doesn't have any condemnation for them. You know, there's a couple of churches in Revelation like that. One's Philadelphia, but there's the church at Berea. And Paul's on his missionary journey. He goes to Thessalonica, and then he goes to Berea. And Thessalonica, they didn't understand anything. Give us the answer. Just tell us. Just tell us. But look what it says here. And this is what should be happening in a biblical church. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." When you come into God's house, are you ready for the message? We talked about this yesterday too. Are you ready to receive what God has laid on our hearts? When you pick up the Bible, do you pray, say, "God, reveal what you want me to know today," before you read? Have you prepared yourself to understand what God's Word says, that you'll be able to receive it? And because they receive the Word with what? All readiness of mind. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye" what? "Transformed by the" what? "Renewing of your mind." And then if they heard something and it didn't sound right, they searched it out. And I'm glad there's guys in here and people, ladies also, that fix my mistakes. And I make a lot of mistakes up here. Bad references. They said, that's not it, it's here. Fine. Okay? That's fine. They search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Folks, don't take things just at my word. Know them for yourself. Know them for yourself. So we need to examine it for yourselves. You need to examine it in the Spirit. Yes, this Bible is a great read, but it's not a novel. It's something to be studied and dug out. You're supposed to dig out the hidden treasures of this. How many times have you seen a verse or you read it, you've read it a lot, and all of a sudden something comes to you? Say, we'll never come to a point of we'll know it all here. That's why Paul preached. He says that you'll be able to comprehend the love of God and understand the height and the depth and everything of that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, we have to have the Spirit illuminate this. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. And what are we supposed to talk about? Worldly things? No, the things that were given to us by God. God's words, one of them, says, which things also we what? Speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, when you examine this from the Holy Spirit's perspective. Examine this from God's perspective. Examine this from, God, help me to understand what this is. But the first thing you need to do is what? Search it. If you never open up God's Word, you're never going to get anything out of it. The next thing you need to do is study it and examine it. The third thing you need to do is think on it, is to meditate in it. How often we're supposed to meditate? Repeatedly. Repeatedly. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, it says, but his delight, blessed is man that doesn't walk in the way of the ungodly or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When you decide, you hear something on the news, do you compare it against God's word? So that's truth or that's error? Or when you have a decision, there's God's way and then there's the world's way, and you can tell the difference? I was reading through Ezekiel in my Bible study this week, and there's times that Ezekiel is told to tell the elders, the priest, that you think good is bad and bad is good, and you're making the profane holy and the holy profane. See, we need to understand that our delight should be in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He what? Meditate day and night. That was the promise of success to Joshua. He says, you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. So when you meditate in God's Word, you need to do it repeatedly, daily. And then you need to do it respectfully. In Psalm 119, verse 15, it says, I will meditate in thy precepts. Now, here's the thing. You've got to make a decision that you're going to do it. You've got to make a decision. You know, if you're forced to do something, you know, forced to do your homework, probably not going to get much out of it because all you want to do is just get it done. You want to force to read this technical manual, you just do it just to get the minimum stuff done. But it says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have what? Respect unto all thy ways. How can we know the way to go unless we know the roadmap? How can we know what to do in our life unless we follow the instructions? How can we know when to do it unless we understand the signs of the times in biblical context? How can we do all this stuff unless we search the Scripture? How can we do all this stuff unless we examine it for ourselves and let the Holy Spirit illuminate us? How can we do it unless we meditate on this and make it an integral part of our life? You know, knowledge is one thing, but knowledge that is applied in your life is a totally different thing. That's understanding. And God wants us to have understanding. You'll never understand God's Word unless you meditate on it. Unless you think about it. You memorize it. And then you'll be able to help. Just like Philip. Why was he in the desert? The Spirit told him to go there. Why? Because there's this Ethiopian guy. He's reading God's Word. Everything's set up. Folks, God sets up things for opportunities for us and we just let them go right on by. Because we're not ready. Because we don't know how to use the Word of God. So we need to search it. We need to examine it. We need to meditate in it. And then we need to delight in it. Oh, do I really have to do this? You're really going to force me to do this? I don't want to do... How many wait till last moment to do most things? I'll raise my hand. I'll admit it. Yeah. And you find out, oh, I got the final and I've never even opened the book. And then you try to cram all that knowledge in. See, we have to have a different perspective on God's Word. And to encourage you on how to use God's words, we need to delight in it. You know why? You know why we should delight in God's words? Because we love it. We love it. In Psalm 119, verse 47, it says, I will delight myself in thy commandments. Christ said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. John says, but his commandments are not what? Grievous. Oh, I really have to do this. I really have to know this stuff. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Folks, if we really love God's Word, it changed the way we live.
Right.
If we love God's Word like we're supposed to, it changed the direction of churches today. We need to delight in it because we love it. You know why you need to delight in it? You know, why do we do something? Because we see purpose in it. We see benefit in it in our lives. So why should we delight in it? Because it'll do your heart good. It'll do your heart good. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, he says, thy words were found. How do you find them? You have to search for them. And then you have to examine them. And then you have to meditate on them. It says, thy words were found, and I did what? Eat them. You know, Job said this. He says, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my what? Necessary food. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the what? The joy and rejoicing of mine heart. It does your heart good. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know why? Because we're supposed to be examples of the Word. But how can you be examples of the Word unless you search the Word? How can you be examples of the Word unless you examine the Word? How can you be examples of the Word unless you meditate on the Word? How can you be examples of the Word unless you delight in it? If you want to be a salesman of something, you actually got to believe in the product. But some of us say, well, it just... I met Jesus and you can meet him too. Yeah. No. We ought to be rejoicing for what hope we have in us. So we need to delight in it because we love it. We need to delight in it because it does our heart good. And obviously the last thing we need to do with the Word of God is to declare it. We are in the society we are in right now is because people have not declared the Word of God. We have workplaces that we're in right now is because people won't stand up for that. Oh, I have my sensitivity training. I go to human resources and everything else, but I stand up and I say, that's a sin.
Yeah.
And you just can't. I'll accept the person, but I will not accept their lifestyle. And I will not accept their actions because it's wrong. See, we got to declare it. And we got to declare it with a proper mouth. In James chapter 3, it says, out of the same mouth comes what? Blessings and cursings, these things not ought to be. I get very irritated, and you ought to too, if you hear somebody on the radio call themselves ordained ministers. And in one day they're cussing, and now and then they're preaching the gospel. Wrong!
Right, wrong.
Our speech needs to convey who we believe and not convey what the world says. We need to do it with a proper mouth. In Psalm 119 verse 13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Well, there's a lot of things that we may not know about his judgments. You'll never know about the judgments of God unless you read the book. And it's getting more and more that we're going to have to, that you're going to have to stand and stand for the truth. Are you willing to do that? Could you do it? Could you give scripture, chapter and verse of the scripture to support the position? We need to do it with a proper mouth, and we need to do it with a proper method. In Jeremiah 23 verse 28... it says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word how?
Faithfully.
See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, woe is on me unless I share the gospel. He says, I can't help but say these things. The prophets, Isaiah, and we've been studying Isaiah on Wednesday night. And he can't help but say what God said. Folks, we need to get in a mindset that we can't help to tell the truth. We can't help to say what the Bible says. But if you don't know it, you can't say anything about it. So if you were out there in the desert and the Ethiopian eunuch was driving by and he was reading things, and he says, I don't understand. Could you help me? Could you? Could you help? See, we need to search it and examine it and meditate on it and delight in it and declare it. Because if we're not willing to say anything, we really can't convince that anybody that we really believe it. It's time to stand up for what's right. So tonight as I close, what are you doing with the Word of God? What are we doing with the Word of God? Are we searching it? Are we examining it? Are we meditating on it repeatedly and with respect? Are we delighting in it because we love it and because it'll do our heart good? Are we declaring it with a proper mouth? Are we using God's way? Each one of us in here is to be a witness. The day of the silent witness is over. It is now time to speak what we believe. And it's going to be contrary to what the world is. And they're not going to like it. Well, that's because somebody doesn't like it doesn't mean they shouldn't hear it.
Right.
So how to use the Word of God? I've given you five things tonight. I hope it's motivated you to change your attitude towards God's Word. And that will be a better disciple for God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, let's just ask you this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts and help us, Lord, to rightly handle the Word of truth. Father, help us, Lord, not to be babes, but be full, mature Christians. Help us, Lord, to be able to see opportunities, Lord, because we're looking for them. Help us, Lord, be prepared that we can do your will for your glory. Bind Satan on our behalf. Let your Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.